This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We got phone calls to get to, NFL draft to discuss later in the hour. What we like, what we didn't like. Brad Holmes updating us on his priorities. Talking Pistons right now. The Pistons embrace the mentality of the bad boys. Bumps and bruises. Chauncey used to say, if it ain't rough, it ain't right. That's the way we want to play. It's the way we want this series officiated. We have not been happy collectively as a fan base, but we want more physicality. We don't want to call every bump and bruise. Got what we wanted. Our star didn't make the shot at the end of the game. Our team blew an 11-point lead.
And it's funny because what did I put to you guys in my email I sent to you last night? The Pistons could be up 3-1. In this series right now. And on Twitch, the Pistons could be up 3-1 if they could just close out fourth quarters in the face of not getting the calls.
But how much of that is Homer radio? Because in New York, they could say if Towns shows up even a little bit, they had the brooms yesterday and series is over. If Towns doesn't go missing MIA in game two, if he plays the way he has in Detroit, we don't even get to game five.
Yeah, but yes, you're right. I'm sure they're saying the same thing. But in game one, he didn't disappear.
Right.
And they could have won that one. They did in game two. And then yesterday, they had an 11-point lead. Karl Anthony Towns wasn't playing bad at the beginning of the game. He wasn't playing bad at the middle of the game. He did hit some big shots at the end, but they still could have salted that game away.
They are really missing someone to help in the half court. This team gets stops. They can run. They score in transition. They activate the crowd. That's how they got here. But the problem is, and this would become a problem if they got out of the first round, the game gets condensed into the half court, and you have to be able to create mismatches. And it's Cade and Tobias Harris. You get what I'm saying? Like Malik Beasley, who's a catch and shoot guy. They don't have people breaking down the defense, multiple guys.
And I know you've been talking about this through the entire series. We talked about it a little bit with Giannis. Like, what would it mean for him to be playing with Cade? It's you got to have that 1-2 punch. But the playoffs accentuate the flaws that you have. We saw it with the Lions. We saw it last year with the Tigers. Even though it was great for the Tigers to be in the postseason, it accentuated the fact that they didn't have the bats. And now, all of a sudden, we're looking at this as the Pistons make the postseason, and it accentuates the fact that they just don't have as much as other teams have. And so, not that Trajan Langdon needed the playoffs to see that. I'm sure he saw it ahead of time. But it does shine a spotlight on the deficiencies that you have. And hopefully this offseason, you address some of those deficiencies. You may not be able to address them all. And we'll talk about the Lions and addressing needs and all those different things. But you're hoping that you can address as many as possible so that you can make it further into the playoffs, that you have a better season. And then in the next offseason, you address more. And then eventually you become championship contenders. This is the path that the Pistons are going to have to follow.
Texture says the refs were letting the boys play all game. Was it a foul? Yes. Am I mad they didn't call it? No. All three losses, the Pistons lost. The Knicks didn't win. It's on us to play better. Bottom line, we played well enough to win, but the refs took it from us. Another one says Cookies is wrong. Stop talking. Cookies, Prince of the Soft Take. Guys, I think the soft take is bail us out. They called it the way you wanted it to be called. The soft take is whimpering after the game. That's the soft take. Let's get to Sal. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's
good
up, Sal?
Good morning.
What's going on, buddy?
All right. I thought in the very beginning, let me know what you think. In the very beginning of the game, I thought the Pistons made a mistake with that challenge call. I think it was on Tobias. And I said then, it's too early in the game to make a challenge call. I think they should use that at a real crucial time.
Yeah.
And in the end, it was that was the crucial time.
Just a quick clarification. You can't. My understanding is you can't challenge a no call.
Right. If it's called, you can challenge it. But you can't challenge a no call.
So if JB kept it, it wouldn't have made a difference. I agree with you, though, for the second straight game, they've used their challenge way too early in the game on inconsequential moments. Points that don't even determine actual points in the game, like out of bounds and foul calls in the first half. I don't know why you use your challenge that early in the game on stuff like that.
I would just go to the philosophy that JB has shared with us. At the end of the season or in the playoffs, every possession matters. And I'm sure that's probably part of his
and he's looking to spark process. Guys early. Doesn't right. If I can get a win early, it may fire up my guys.
Can we get the whiny sound again? That makes me laugh.
Was it a bad whiny sound? Was it?
Oh yeah, it's a bad. But I just want to hear it again.
Well, you're going to have to pull it from the archive. I'm not on demand here.
You're not on demand?
I'm not a wind-up toy here
for
you.
I'm sure we'll get it again. We'll just, yeah.
No, Greg's not going to do that. He wouldn't do that to me. Let's get to Marcus in East Point. Marcus, you're on 97.1.
Oh, man. You sound a little upset there, Cookie. anyway, I do kind of question the fans who are complaining about the call, even a little bit. At the end of the day, one thing you don't want on either side, you don't want to be called for a soft foul. And if you don't want to be called for a soft foul, you can ask for a soft foul. That was a soft call. I don't care what nobody say, especially at that point in the game. So I'm not upset at all that it wasn't called, not even a little bit. My biggest issue is how our superstar keeps turning the ball over in open court. That is my biggest issue. And I mean, at the end of the day, this team is just not built yet to win in the playoffs. They don't have as much as they play hard, and they do play hard.
Yes.
They just don't have the talent itself. I mean, I watched New York in the first half literally come down four possessions in a row where they got three offensive rebounds on each possession, just tipping the ball back to each other. We're too little. I mean, everybody on the team is 6'5", 6'6". I mean, it's just – and then without Stewart, you don't have the – I mean, even though he's not that big either. I mean, he's not that tall.
But
he plays big strong. Yeah. He plays big. But you just don't have that. And then I heard one caller say that New York didn't win that game. We lost that game. And I don't believe that. When you see a
Towns
guy
made
shots
those shots.
Like Towns,
yes.
When you see a guy hit shots like that, there's no stopping that. There's that dude hit one of those jumpers from 30, just pulled up like it was a 2-foot jump shot.
He won that game.
They're playing hard.
He won that game. Towns had two big shots. Cade had a turnover and a missed shot. I mean, that's not to distill it down to two plays, but two plays a piece at the end of the game. That to me was more indicative than complaining about an officiating call.
That baseline jumper he hit, I haven't seen anybody hit that since Larry Bird. That was sick.
Marcus,
that was sick.
You take the Detroit fandom out of it, you're right. You got to give it to him. Like, that's a hell of a shot.
Yeah,
Marcus
over the backboard.
It.
Oh yeah, that was. I mean, you got to appreciate that for what it was.
I know this is killing you that we're spending so much time talking Pistons.
And it's getting in the way of my great Tigers game and the run that this team is on. 8-2 at home. I mean, first place.
Sweeping the Orioles over the weekend.
Man, and just continuing. Going into the weekend, what was it? They were tied. There was actually one point where they were behind the Guardians. And now they got a 2.5 game lead on the Guardians just through the weekend. I mean, come on, let's go.
You hate that the Pistons are stealing the show today.
I don't hate that the Pistons are stealing the show. I wish they were stealing the show with a win. And I don't want to minimize. I know that I'm not going to say anybody that calls in that wants to complain about that call, it's part of the entirety of the game. If they get that call and Tim Hardaway is at the free throw line, chances are they win. So if you want to call in and bitch and moan about that, I had a coach tell me one time, it's your God-given right to bitch and moan. And it's our right to whether we care or not.
Chuck, you want to exercise that right? You can. You're on 97.1.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Good. Hey, listen. Man. So I referee basketball at a pretty decent level. Of course, it's not the pro level. And there was such thing as clear and obvious. It's not a question that was a foul, and that foul has to be called. I don't know what he was looking at, whatever. But here's what I wanted to say. Nobody's talking about the fact that the Pistons came out in the first quarter and a half and got hit directly in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the fortitude, the testosterone fortitude, to fight back and only make it, I think it was a 6-point deficit at the half. And then to fight back and then create an 11-point lead. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of fortitude to do that. And, you know, that's a good team.
Yes.
That was on the other side of that court. So with that being said, things happen. It's the playoffs, and things like that. So at the end of that game, when that happens, yes, we can, I don't want to curse on the air, be and moan and whatever be it was. No, that's a foul. That's a part of the game. Fouls happen, and they need to be called. And we do have the right to do that. And I don't think anybody that does call this radio station or anywhere else and complain about that particular call shouldn't be, belittled, in my opinion.
Chuck, I appreciate the passion. I like that you shouted out the comeback because it does get lost in all of this discussion. As they were down 16 points in that game at home, and they could have gone down in a heap. They roared back. They got the crowd going. They gave themselves a chance at the end. They didn't make the plays. They fell one play short. Texter says, Tom rushed this in before we could get to the break. Just so you guys know, this is a priority ticket text that needed to be read on the air. Everyone's missing the real reason why the Pistons lost yesterday. Cookies was in the arena. This dude kills the mojo of all Detroit sports teams.
What's your record in the playoffs since the last couple years here? Didn't you go to game 4 of the ALDS?
And game 3, which they won.
Oh, okay. Wait, I forgot about that.
I've witnessed a playoff win.
A win. How many, but your record's not great.
What is that, 1-2? Well, I was at the Lions playoff game, too. You know what? Let's
none of the wings. You didn't go to any of the wings playoff
games. Yeah, the season ender?
I've been to 0 wings playoff games.
1-3.
All right, let's talk Lions coming up next, John. How about that?
That sounds good.
The draft, people have their grades. We'll talk about it. It's 97.1.
If your furnace or AC isn't getting the job done, do what I did. Call the team at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. Mastercraft has 24/7 emergency service, so you never have to go long without. And they back their work with a 5-year warranty. They've got great deals going on right now for new furnaces or AC units. Make the call, unlike the call that was made at the end of the game. They've got generators in stock as well. Call to schedule your free in-home estimate, or you can check them out online at mastercraftheating.com. That's mastercraftheating.com.
Poor John. He just wants to talk about this first place baseball team.
Why can't we talk about a team that's winning right now?
Spent a lot of time on the Pistons this morning. If you missed it, Odyssey Rewind.
I will say, obviously, the Pistons won a lot in the regular season. And so we are talking about a team that is in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm sorry that they were a brief distraction from your regular viewing of the Tigers.
It was, because the Tigers were so much fun to watch yesterday. But they were so much fun to watch on Saturday. I mean, 2 games, doing all the little things right.
8-2 on the homestand.
Mm. And you would have settled for 5-5.
The context being they had lost back-to-back games.
No,
they had scored 1 run in the 2 games. I thought, hey.
And you wanted the easy, well, let's just see if
stabilize.
They can beat 500.
They stabilize. Clearly, this team is better than we thought they were going to be, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. It sets up a fun summer for us.
Oh.
Boy, that does not sound good.
Thank you, Greg.
That was me attempting to make a whimper sound for Pistons fans. No, that doesn't sound.
It goes right along with that one.
I think there's a Rico moan in the system, too. If someone wants to have fun with that, knock yourself out.
Oh, we will.
John, the draft. We can't avoid it. It's the Monday after the NFL draft. Brad Holmes went and did his thing. I was looking at some draft grades, and I thought Yahoo had an interesting way of phrasing it. He gave them a B- and said it was an eat-your-vegetables draft.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Kiper gave him a C+.
Mel Kiper, yeah. He was the one that was just begging for Shadir to be drafted in the first round, second round, third round.
Fourth?
Mm, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to. Mel Kiper's lost a lot of credibility over the years. And the reason he is doing what he's doing is because he doesn't evaluate players the same way that general managers does. If he was so good at evaluating, he would be in the front offices of one of 32 teams.
I think this is a really good distinction that needs to be made here. When people hand out draft grades, they are grading relative to the industry mocks, because they will label someone a reach because nobody had that in their mocks. Brad Holmes is not cross-referencing his board with Yahoo Sports, CBS Sports, ESPN, Mel Kiper, Walter Football, Free Press, Detroit. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's building his board. So what we perceive to be a reach, like Tyleek Williams, some people thought was a reach. Well, Williams comes out and says, the Bills were going to take me in a couple picks.
Mm-hmm.
So
do we think the Bills evaluate talent fairly well, and especially on defense?
It was clear they needed some beef on their D-line because they hit that aggressively in the draft, and they liked Tyleek Williams. Well, Brad Holmes gets him.
John, if we believe it was the Bills actually communicating with him, because there's been some mystery as to who's making calls draft.
Prank phone calls. But overall, what did you think of the draft?
So going into it, I was going to evaluate what happened in the first three rounds as how I would evaluate their draft. Now, anything after that, because there's very few roster positions open for this team. It's not like the first year of Brad Holmes where he had to hit on nearly every pick, because and even some of those picks at the end of his first draft wouldn't make the team in today's Detroit Lions football.
You're right.
The talent level is so much higher. This is a roster that is a Super Bowl contender. All right, I'm not going to say it's Super Bowl champ yet because we have no idea, but it is one that will contend for a Super Bowl. So you look and you say, well, I know Brad Holmes doesn't draft for need. Last year, he manufactured that need because they needed two corners. They went and got Terrion Arnold and Ennis Rakestraw. This year, defensive line. They need defensive linemen.
Interior as much as edge with McNeil's injury.
Right, exactly. Because when you look at the roster, I don't know that you want to go into the season with DJ Reader as one starter. And I know that the numbers that they're working with say that Levi Onwuzurike had a good season. Roy Lopez, I don't think you're going into him hoping that he is a major contributor. He's a guy that's going to go in and contribute, but he's a role player. Depth guy, a stopgap. They needed to draft a player like Tyleek Williams, a run stopper. And we talked about this on Friday. In the division, who likes to run the ball?
Everyone.
Every single one of them. And we know, okay, Chicago, they beefed up their O-line. It was a major need for them in Chicago. And Ben Johnson knows the pathway to getting back to relevancy, to winning football games, is you got to control the line of scrimmage. So Tyleek Williams was drafted. Then you look at, what did we say the other need was? You got to water the garden. You used a quote that, you know, it's what, the fruits and vegetables? They watered the garden with that offensive line in getting Ratledge. Ratledge is a guy that can come in, not that he has to, but can come in and instantly make this offensive line better. Now, Mahogany's not a guy that's going to snap. Ratledge, not a guy that's going to snap. Maybe they learn that skill over the next few years, but if something happens to Frank, who goes in? Well, Graham.
They did say, I believe I read, that they're going to cross-train them both at center.
They should.
Yeah.
And I've told everybody, every player that I have talked to over the last decade, since I stopped playing, which is longer than a decade now, if you're an offensive lineman and you want to play a long time in the NFL, you want to increase your value to your team, you work on both sides, left and right. If you're a tackle, you work on guard, because the progression is that when I can no longer play tackle, I play guard. And then you also, when that CQ exchange happens, every single practice, you are out there snapping. You have to develop that skill if you want to play a long time. You never know when it's going to be needed. And so, yeah, I think they will, you know, cross-train them at center, and should. But right now, Ratledge has never played center. He's never played left guard. He's only played right guard.
Where did Zeitler play last year?
Well, he played right guard.
That's what I'm saying. So this becomes a move where he could start immediately. So while Brad Holmes doesn't draft for
need, but that's where Mahogany played. So I don't know if Mahogany, and I don't remember what he played at Boston College because he was even hurt his senior year. Like, is he a guy that can move over to left? Is that the path? And then Graham backs up all three, and especially at center. Ideally, that's
you,
the situation.
You start to see the vision. Now, we fruits and vegetables, what did mom say? Eat your vegetables so you grow up big and strong. This is a grow up big and strong draft, right? Because you get their first two picks weigh almost 700 pounds. It's guys that are going to beef up this team on the trenches, guys who should start right away and have an impact right away on this team. The third round is where Brad likes to do things. Draft Hendon Hooker for a backup quarterback. Roll the dice on a Broderick Martin. Gio Manu.
Yeah.
Total project. This year, he gives up 2/3 plus their third, so 3, to go up and draft a player that I don't think anybody was super familiar with. What did you make of it?
This, to me, is it's one to make the offense better. You want to make sure you give Jared Goff as many weapons as possible. And no, there's nothing in this draft that says, oh, well, we're going to trade Jameson Williams.
No,
that's not the case. Isaac Tesla is going to be the eventual replacement for Tim Patrick so that you have a younger, hopefully more healthy. But it's when you look at their dimensions and what their skill set is, eventually – I believe Tesla is going to be a better option than Tim Patrick. Not to start the season, but eventually he will be. And then Tim Patrick, after this year, he goes into retirement or he goes to a different team. And Tesla is your guy at that number 3 wide receiver spot.
Big body, elite testing numbers. And I know they downplayed height, weight, speed, their tape guys. Not super productive at Arkansas, but their quarterback play was pretty rough. They had a runner, Taylen Green. If they project him to be a guy who can play some big slot, who can play the outside, who has a huge ceiling for this team, I get it. I get it. We talked about the need at receiver beyond, mm-hmm. you know, the primary needs. A secondary need was making sure you added a receiver in this draft, and they get a guy they really like. If Holmes loves a player, I have no issue burning some capital to go get a guy. You don't have 15 roster spots available.
Right.
If you really like a guy, go get a guy. But I do think it's noteworthy that they traded up to to manufacture some need, though. I don't know that he would admit it that way, but they went up to get need, right? And they'll say we went up to get the player, but it's both.
It's a little bit of both, sure. And we thought in the second round, if they went defensive line in the first, offensive line in the second was going to be the case. And Brad Holmes talks about his buckets. Was Tate Ratledge the last one in that bucket or the best one in that bucket? And if he wasn't there and they picked at 28 in the second round, were they going to get somebody that's not going to help them or an inferior player at that point or one that just needed more development?
I think we just did 10 minutes on the draft and didn't bring up Edge. We'll do that next. It's 97.1.
Hey, at First Merchants Bank, they believe that the real value comes from building strong communities and relationships. With their new branch opening in the Fitzgerald neighborhood of Detroit, First Merchants Bank is excited to offer a banking experience that's welcoming, attentive, and dependable. Their easy-to-use, secure, and highly rated app makes everyday banking a breeze, allowing you to manage your accounts on the go, and it's one that I use daily. Their local, attentive bankers are your partners in success. They take the time to get to know you, give sound advice, and provide solutions that work for you, the individual. In fact, it's exactly what they've done for me over the years, and not just me, but my family as well, and why they're my personal financial partner. With a passion for fostering community development, their team is committed to helping you and your neighborhood prosper. Experience the difference of banking with an award-winning bank that truly cares about your financial journey. All you have to do is visit firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald to learn more about how they can help support you as well. That's firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
B's and B minuses. From the National Pundits, what did you make of it as a Lions fan? 248-539-9797. What you liked, what you didn't like. And we spent 10 minutes. We didn't even bring up pass rusher.
Yeah, and I'm not, you'll never hear me give a letter grade, A, B, C. I think giving a letter grade to a draft right after the draft, I mean, you could say like, dislike, you know, strengths and weaknesses.
Why are you opposed to that?
Because I think it's dumb.
Well, it's all stupid. Everything we do is, you know, relatively...
Well, it's not all stupid, but I think giving a draft grade of sitting there going, oh, he got an A+, because some of those players, we've all seen players that were taken, you know, 10 overall, and you're like, oh, wow, this guy's going to be great. And then he ends up being a turd, and we know that they don't like turds here. there needs to be context. You give a grade after year one, year two, year three. There has to be some evaluation of the impact of those players on this team.
Yeah, I just think it's a way of summarizing your thoughts into a nice, neat grade. Nobody would say the class's obituary has been written, right? Like, or you know, we have to see how it plays out. Oh, but your moment,
you said it, not me.
but your initial grade is not your final grade. And what we do is all silly and goofy. So, yeah, I think you just want to sum up what you saw from your general manager and whether you thought they did a nice job or not. It's with the backdrop that everybody trusts Brad Holmes. So when he does something like trade three third-round picks to go and get a receiver, people go, let's look a little closer. This guy might actually be a hell of a steal. I don't know.
My evaluation of this, it would be not sexy.
Yeah.
Not a sexy draft. Like Tyleek Williams, even if he plays at his best, he's not going to be a double-digit sack guy. All of the numbers that will describe the production of a defensive tackle are all going to be numbers that I'll nerd out on, and I'll, you know, bring them up every once in a while. Same with Tate Ratledge. Like, you're not going to sit there and go, oh, well, he had 14 pancakes today, and you know, he... You know, did such and such. It's not a sexy draft, but it's one where you've got to continue to be good up front, offensively and defensively. And if Brad Holmes had the mentality of I'm just going to take an offensive and a defensive lineman in the first couple of rounds for the rest of my career, it's not sexy, but it is going to produce a team that's always going to be good. And now, how do you develop some of those other things that make you great?
So the Yahoo report said it was an eat your vegetables draft, right? You eat your vegetables, you grow up big and strong.
Definitely not sexy.
No. No one's like some broccoli Rob. But they need this. And another way to look at it would be the... You know, what's your issue with Broccoli Rob?
Broccoli Rob, I've never heard that. What's Broccoli Rob?
You'd get it at like a steakhouse or something. It's just like fancy broccoli.
Broccoli Rob?
Am I like breaking this to you, that this is a thing you can order?
Or? I've never heard it.
I guess you wouldn't
can
order
you serve
this.
That me the Rob style?
I was going to leave the food area. I know you're very comfortable with food. And make the analogy that it's like a furnace that you have to keep shoveling coal into, right? Coal's dirty. You get it by getting your hands dirty. But if you're not going to continue to put that in the furnace, the train's going to stop. You're not going to advance any further. They very much needed to get more coal in the furnace to keep this train moving. If there's any critique of the draft at all, it would be pass rush. They waited until day three. The player they got, for the record, I'm intrigued by. But they waited until damn near 200 picks into the draft before taking someone opposite Aiden Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm.
And while I know you don't want to force things if you're Brad Holmes, if you're willing to trade up to get specific people, why are the specific people never people who are on the edge of the line who hit the quarterback? Is that a fair critique or
sure.
question?
You can ask that question. And so you look and you say they took him at the 25th pick. Who was still on the board? Mike Green was still on the board. So they could have had Mike Green out of Marshall, who was very productive, but what was their evaluation of the off-field issues? After that, Josiah Stewart was a guy that I thought would have been a good selection. He was still on the board late into the third round. And, I mean, would I look at that one and say, would I rather have Josiah Stewart than Tesla?
And maybe keep a third or two in the process that you could use at next year's trade deadline? Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's all a part of it. So, again, you have to sit there and say, who was still on the board, and would you have liked one of those players more? And for Brad Holmes and his evaluation, did he think Mike Green was going to translate into major production for what the Lions need?
Well, that would have been instead of Ratledge.
Right.
Right, because Green went like one pick after, I think. Or
Yeah, two picks. I think it was 27.
Two picks later. Yeah, 57 to 59. I don't know. I take a step back and I go, maybe I'm just wrong. Like, maybe I'm stupid. Maybe they don't need help at the edge.
Can I answer?
I don't think I want you to answer.
Okay.
Maybe I'm just completely wrong, that this team is perfectly set at edge. They have enough bodies to go win the Super Bowl there. I don't know what to believe, because Brad Holmes, who I think is great at this, continues to tell us with his actions, we good.
With Green, though, it's clearly off the field why he was dropping everything. And so, I like, for you, I don't really know. Does that stuff matter to you? Like,
it has to matter some. Yeah.
Okay, because, I mean, I do find it compelling that a team that you're right there with Super Bowl odds, the Baltimore Ravens.
They'll roll the dice on him.
They'll take him. And this is a franchise that had Ray Rice.
Yeah.
Okay?
They've been burned.
Do you want to, does that matter to you? Does that, do you side to the Lions side of staying away from that compared to, are you all in?
And this somewhat goes to the quote that I shared with Jared Goff when I was doing the Q&A with him on Thursday night. And I asked him, how do you welcome these guys and how do you get them to fit into the culture? And his answer was, we don't really have to because we know they're going to draft guys that are already set up to fit into the culture that Dan has set in the locker room of the players that Brad Holmes has drafted and put in that locker room.
Get some phone calls, some ticket texts, 248-539-9797. You can play along and give a draft grade if you're like John, and that is stupid to do. Just tell us what you like and what you didn't like. Let's get to Steve in Detroit. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Before I get started, I just want to say I have never heard of Broccoli Rob, and I'm 47 years old, so I'm not really sure where that came from.
Yeah, I got 2 years on you, and I still haven't heard of Broccoli Rob.
Anyways, getting to the draft, you know, I think Lions fans are going to have to get used to the fact that we're a top five team in the NFL. We're going to be picking mid to high 20s. Not a lot of sexy picks at that point in the draft. So I think you guys are exactly right. We got to shore up the lines, take a couple of projects, but the days of picking on the top 10 are long gone, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. So if you you're not going to give it a grade, I take it.
No grades. Those don't work out at all for me. The other thing I will say, though, as I think there's probably a reason that we didn't pick an edge rusher. Brad Holmes has a lot of information. Maybe there's a deal ready to be done for Zadarius Smith or something like that that we just don't know about. But there's got to be a reason. I'm not worried at all. But thanks for taking my call.
Steve, I appreciate the phone call. We appreciate it. I suspect Zadarius will be a Detroit Lion.
I mean, the tea leaves point that way, but we have no idea what other teams may offer.
Ticket Texter says, Broccoli Rob is very common. Nobody more consistent with boomer takes, thoughts, and recognition than John Jansen.
Well, okay, so how you serve broccoli would not be at the top of my to-do list.
Your culinary profile?
Yeah. Does it go good with a ribeye? Probably not. Yeah,
no, it does. You can get it. A lot of steakhouses will get you broccoli Rob as a side.
Yeah, it says, I did look it up. It's an Italian vegetable. Reference to the Italian vegetable broccoli Rob, and no. I know 50% of you says, I know all about this.
I'll say I'm beating the fake Italian allegations by the minute here. Texter says, I give Holmes an A on the draft. He still needs opposite Hutch, but you honestly think he isn't three moves ahead of all of us? He'll get his guy, and we'll all say, what a genius. That signed Coop. Holmes was asked about Edge a million times over the weekend. We have some clips to play. We'll get to that. Thoughts on the draft as a whole? It's 97.1.
Hey, don't miss your chance to bet on all the clutch shots and legendary performances with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props, and now you can make a heads-up play with player performance trends. That means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without even leaving the app. Plus, after the game tips off, you can combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to put down a little but win big. If you don't already have a FanDuel account, playoff time is the perfect time to join. You're going to get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to join today. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit and make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
He had two incredible shots at the end of that game. That's Blaha on the radio call. We're going to talk Pistons coming up top of the hour. I know people are very upset with the way that game ended. Lions draft. Ticket text, phone calls, 248-539-9797. Give it a grade. you don't like to give grades. What'd you like? What didn't you like? Most people love that they hit the trenches. We love that they hit the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Did not address edge until nearly 200 picks into the draft. Brad Holmes, at the end of day two, when they made that trade up for a receiver, gave up a couple extra thirds, was asked about edge and why they hadn't addressed it yet.
Thoughts?
It's clear that there's a disconnect between what the fans want to see and what Brad prioritizes. You know, we look at the Eagles and say, they had waves of dudes. It's how you beat a Mahomes. It's how you beat a Brady back in the day. It's how you dethrone the elite quarterbacks. It's how you transform your defense to the next level. You have Aiden, but you don't have someone opposite Aiden. You know, Ben Raven, who I like at MLive, he wrote one of his thoughts following the draft, one of the losers of the draft. Those who spent months obsessing over pass rushing prospect for the Lions. And he highlights in here, it appears the Lions are banking on Marcus Davenport to play a key role next season.
I don't necessarily go that route.
You think Za'Darius is going to come back?
I do think that they will explore the, you know, Za'Darius coming back. I also think that, and again, I don't like Josh Pascal as being your opposite Aiden Hutchinson. I don't like Marcus Davenport being opposite Aiden Hutchinson, Al-Quadin Muhammad. Like, I don't know that I like any of those guys being opposite Aiden Hutchinson, but I do like the fact that Tyleek Williams is going to be, is most likely going to be a day one starter. And you could also say the same thing about Ratledge.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a day one starter.
I like the edge that they did draft. I don't know what his role will be out of the box. He's a day three pick, but what I liked about him, the Boise State guy, super productive in college, 22 sacks the last two seasons. High motor guy who outperformed the athletic testing numbers. He's one of those turn on the tape guys. And if everything you've seen about his personality, like, feels like a perfect fit for the Detroit Lions. I don't know in his rookie season if he's going to provide the oomph that everybody's looking for. But when they did draft him, Brad Holmes had a fun little exchange. I think this is with Dave Burkett asking the question. This is Brad Holmes. So clearly he's having fun with it. I do wonder where the disconnect comes from. Like, we don't know ball. I mean, Brad doesn't see it as a big priority.
Well, I think it's clear he sees it as a priority. I mean, he saw it last year at the end of at the trade deadline.
Well, only because Aiden was hurt. I think he believes with Aiden healthy that second edge is really kind of a minor need for this football team.
Well, I think with Aiden healthy, it makes whoever's going to play on that other side better. Then maybe, you know, playing for another team where they don't have an Aiden Hutchinson, they don't have a Max Crosby or a Miles Garrett.
Well, but I look to you because you know ball. If Aiden's healthy, is that still a need on the opposite edge?
Sure, it's a need. I'm not going to sit there and tell you that it's Marcus Davenport or it's Josh Pascal. Those guys can be placeholders. I would still love to see them go get Za'Darius Smith. Trades can still happen. I'd still love to see an upgrade at that position.
Let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. Daniel, you're next up.
Hello, are you there?
Daniel, how you doing, bud?
Hello?
Daniel, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you. Go ahead. What you got?
All right, so I watched the picks. If it wasn't, you know, on TV, I was just following on ESPN and everything, and you know, I was kind of upset with their first round pick when I knew Jihad Campbell was on the board, just because I thought I was really upset with Philadelphia drafting him, but I just thought he could have changed our defense tremendously. But the more I've read about these guys, even our, like, all of our picks, the more I've read about them, I really think that Brad Holmes did an excellent job. I mean, this is the first draft, I think, that he did more positional need than he did best available. And, you know, it just filled holes that were holes. And then you guys were just talking about that edge that they got. You know, watching that video of him on the phone and how excited and what he said and just his energy and everything, I just really love that edge pick. And then I do hope that they maybe re-sign Za'Darius Smith, but other than that, I thought it was a positive draft.
Yeah, he said he'll die on the field for Dan Campbell. Doesn't get much more Dan Campbell than that.
No. I also think that you're going to get that same feeling from a lot of guys that are fifth, sixth, seventh round undrafted, you know, free agents that get an opportunity. Yeah, they just want to make their dream a possibility. And the Detroit Lions for this individual is that possibility.
Chris in Ypsilanti, good morning.
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you again. You guys remember me. I'm the Jihad Campbell draft crush guy.
Oh.
So
love to get your evaluation of this one.
It's actually a really solid class. You can imagine my disappointment when we passed on Campbell. I had $50 at plus 3,800 that the Lions would take a linebacker, namely Jihad Campbell. But so I was disappointed. But the more I read about his medical situation, the more it kind of dawned on me, like, all right, there's a pretty good reason why he was there at 28. Both shoulders are messed up and his knee's messed up. He might not even play this year. Otherwise, I think this is a really solid class. Tyleik Williams, I actually won a little bit of money. I knew he was a first-round pick going in, and people were sleeping on him. But what I like most about this class is that that Holmes secured the long-term future at the offensive line. He double-dipped that interior with Ratledge and Frazier. And if you think about it, last year he used a 2025 third to go up and get Gio Manu. So in a way, he used three picks this year to take high upside offensive linemen. You know, Ratledge and Frazier are consensus top 100 interior linemen. That means that, you know, 2027, you might be looking at Manu, Frazier, Ratledge, Mahogany, and Penei Sewell across your O-line. Those guys are all going to be like 25, 26 years old. I mean, that's healthy. That's a healthy room now, and it keeps the strength to strength. So I was really happy with that. The other thing that I really didn't like was trading two-thirds for Isaac Tesla, but, you know, his upside is Nico Collins, and so, you know, overall, I like this class.
Watering the garden.
Yeah, it's a good evaluation, yeah.
And
I think Miles Frazier, you know, the drafting him, as long as he is the guy that they believe he's going to be, the guy that he was in college, it probably is the end of the Colby Sorsdahl era.
It's okay, healthy competition. Got to keep getting better there. It's 97.1.